But I thought I'd talk about promises of God today. I guess I could have talked about Christmas, you know, how it's not the birth of Jesus Christ and so forth. But one thing we learn when we read the Bible is that God is not a liar. God is always tells the truth. And so we can count on the scriptures, except for some of the fables of men who wrote it, to be inspired by God. And I want to cover a couple of scriptures to go through that to start there. Titus. In Titus chapter 1, it's after 2 Timothy. Titus chapter 1. And verse 2. I could have started out and start reading at verse 1, I guess, but verse 2. Paul, who wrote Titus, he said, a bondservant of God, the apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie. Now think about that for a while. Just consider that. God cannot lie. And so, we have the Son of God be born of a woman at the time of a winter solstice, when all the pagan worshipers worshiped their God. Well, he did. Christ was probably born in the autumn. I think we have a booklet, Holidays or Holy Days, after it brings that out. So I'll start with some things that show that God always keeps his word. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. Long, long time ago. Genesis chapter 9. About Noah and the flood. Remember, Noah was one of the few who God could count on. He was worshiping God. So God used him to save mankind. Saved just a few. But he did save mankind. And in verse 8, Genesis 9, says, God spoke to Noah and to his sons, saying, as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, with every living creature that is with you. So Noah brought all the living creatures that God wanted on the ark. Birds, the cattle, and beasts of the earth with you. All that go out of the ark, every beast. And thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again, promise from God, never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is a sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that's with you. Perpetual generations, forever. I set my rainbow in the cloud. It shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. So whenever we see a rainbow after a rain, remember that God is still keeping his promise. He's not going to have a flood that will cover the whole earth and destroy mankind. You might say, well, that probably is pretty easy to keep. It must have been an act of God for the whole world to be flooded. After all, he could probably do it again, but says he's not going to. There's a nuts even more remarkable, perhaps, from one perspective. It's in Genesis 17. Genesis 17. God keeps his promises. Genesis 17, verse 15. God is talking to Abraham and his wife, Sarah. God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I'll bless her and also give you a son by her. I'll bless her and she'll be a mother of nations, king of peoples shall be from her. You might say, well, that's nothing special, is it? Just two people get together and have a child. And Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who's 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who's 90 years old, bear a child? Well, that's impossible today, you would think. Back then, I guess people lived a little bit longer and were a little bit healthier, but that's still very old for a woman to be having a child or for a man to be getting a child. Pretty old. But that's what happened. And they called him Laughter, or Isaac. So that was one of God's promises. Seems pretty incredible to us today. But it was not hard for God. Let's see. I wanted to look at one scripture there. Anyway, he said, is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for God? Stop and think about that for a while. When we ask things of God, are we asking something that's too hard for God? God said it. Pretty much says that nothing is too hard for him to do. We'll keep that and ask God in our prayers for various things. Nothing is too hard for him. Now, go to 1 Kings. 1 Kings 3. First Kings 3 and verse 5. David had just died, and his son Solomon had been appointed king. And so God is going to speak with Solomon a little bit. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? Now, how would you like that if God asked that of you? What would you say? What would you think? Solomon asked very wisely. Or he asked for wisdom. Solomon said in verse 6, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart with you. And you have continued this great kindness for him. You have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I'm a little child. Well, he wasn't, but relatively speaking, he was lacking in experience is what he meant. Do not know how to go out or command. Your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant a clean heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours? And so it pleased God. God said to him in verse 11, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for life, long life for yourself, or have asked for riches for yourself, or have asked the life of your enemies, and have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your will. I've given you a wise and understanding heart, given them, so that there has not been anyone like you before, nor shall any like you arise after you. Now, we can ask the same thing of God. Let's go to the book of James. James 1. James 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, and I'm sure that all of us would say we lack wisdom in some areas, for sure, let him ask God, who gives all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is deceived, so forth. So God wants us to ask in faith if we lack wisdom. And he will give it to us. Solomon was the wisest man on the earth at that particular time because of the wisdom God had given him. You might think that that would be something difficult to give to somebody, wisdom. But God apparently did it in his own way. Now, sometimes promises that God gives us are conditional. Just like wisdom. Let's go to 1 John 1. 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. And verse 8. A big thing for us. This is probably the most important thing that we want from God in our lives. 1 John 1 verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Well, we all know that. We all sin. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, if we confess our sins to God, if we repent, tell God you're sorry and want to change, then he will forgive us. Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins. His blood pays for the price of when we sin. So we ought to take it seriously. But God will forgive us, and that's important. Very important in this life, isn't it? Let's go back to Matthew now. Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Verse 14. Matthew 6 and verse 14. Something to remember. If we are in a habit of holding grudges, we need to watch that. Verse 14. Matthew 6 verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, your Father forgive your trespasses. So we want God to forgive us. So we need to be willing to forgive others. And sometimes that's hard to do. There's Matthew 18. I don't think I'm going to turn to it, but there's a parable of an unforgiving servant. And his master forgave him for a lot. Talks about talents from today's money that would be maybe $1,000. And for all the talents that this person had asked forgiveness for, it was like $1 million, you know, lots, big debt. But it was forgiven. But then he, that person who had been, had his, turned around and pressed upon a fellow servant who owed him just a small amount, maybe $100 by comparison. And he didn't want to forgive that person. So God says, if we don't, then he won't forgive us. So we have to be careful about being willing to forgive others for their sins and their mistakes. Jesus Christ even forgave those who crucified him, which would be incredibly hard to do. I'm glad I don't have to do that. Okay, so let's go to point number one. God will test us. God will test us, won't he? Why does God test us? Just like, remember going to school? Why do the teachers test? We'll find out if we learned anything, right? Find out if we're going to be able to master the course. God wants to know how we're doing, too. And he tests us sometimes to find out. Gives us severe tests sometimes. Maybe sometimes they're pretty easy. But he wants to find out how we feel toward him, whether we're loyal to him regardless, and whether we have the truth. So let's go to James. James chapter 1. Flipping back and forth a little bit. But right after Hebrews. James 1. James chapter 1 verse 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. It's hard to do. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, or perseverance. We're going to persevere or we're going to quit, you know, basically what it comes down to be willing to persevere. That's harder than sometimes sounds. But God wants us to be that kind of an individual who he can count on. Remember, he doesn't want to have another bout with someone like Lucifer. He wants to be able to count on us in God's kingdom. Let's go to first. Blessed is the man or woman who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Eternal life is talking about. People have sought ways to live longer, to extend their lifespan, eternal life. But God offers it. All we have to do is do what he says. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. As no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. That's nice to know, isn't it? God tests us, but he's not going to give us a test that's so difficult we can't pass. But with the temptation, also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now, sometimes the trials are very difficult. Go to 1 Peter. In here. 1 Peter. Right after Hebrews. And James. 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4. Starting in verse 12. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when he is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding glory. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. Some people take issue to the fact that we don't celebrate Christmas. I think our kids especially have it difficult when they go to school. But that's one of the ways that we're persecuted, and God realizes that and counts it as a good thing on our behalf. Christmas and then the Sabbath day and then the holy days, of course, all of those. We get persecuted for those. Perhaps we've experienced some of the following trials. Maybe we're unable to work, can't find work, so forth. Maybe one of the reasons is because we won't work on the Sabbath or because of the holy days. We get laid off or can't find work. That's a hardship, isn't it? Have financial problems, perhaps because of that. Maybe we have problems that are not related to that, like a death of a friend or a child in our family, a spouse, family member. You know, I've had, I guess I'm the youngest of my parents' children, but they died some time ago. And then not too many years, 3 years ago, my brother and my sister died. And I've even had a niece die before me, and she was quite a bit younger than I. So, kind of hate to see that happen, but I guess it reminds us that we're blessed to be living right now. But we do have trials, disappointments in our life. We lose friends once had. I remember that I had friends in high school, pretty good friends, but I've never seen them or talked to them for many years. So I don't know if they're living or dying. But we find out who our friends are, I guess, sometimes when we're tried a trial over religion. And especially in our family was against me coming into this church. At the time, it was Worldwide Church of God. And he told me that as long as he was living, he was going to give me a Christmas gift. So, fortunately, I had a nice mother who would ask the Christmas gifts, and I would wait until sometime in January to come up to visit him. So I got the gifts then. They weren't Christmas gifts, were they? Anyway, I had a very kind mother. She was a peacemaker, you might say. My dad was very stubborn. I don't know who I take after. Probably have a little bit of stubbornness myself. It can be a good thing in the right circumstances, you know. Okay, what if we were born with a disability? I saw something on TV just the other day about some fellow that had been born without any arms or legs. Can you imagine that? How would you like to spend all of your life that way? Well, we had a person who was here. He was born blind. He died. William Stuckey. Remember that? His piano. Very good pianist. That's the way he provided income for his family. I would think it would be difficult to go through life not being able to see. But he managed somehow, didn't he? God helped him, I'm sure. Point number three, God is faithful. God is faithful. He will do what he promises. God will do what he promises. God cannot lie. Can you imagine that? Have you ever met anybody who cannot lie? No. Never will until we meet God. So everything he says is the truth. That's amazing. God is faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians 1, verse 9. What it says, God is faithful. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God called us. Think about that. A lot of people in the world whom God did not call at this particular time, but God called us. So he thinks that we can make it. Why would God call us if he didn't think we would make it? God is faithful. He will do what he can to see us through. If we fail, it's because of us, not because of God. 1 Thessalonians 5. After Timothy. Before Timothy. Sorry. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify or set you apart completely. May your whole soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. God will do what he set out to do. Not going to just stop in the middle and say, yep, can't make it. Do something else. God will finish his work for. God will finish his work with us. Philippians. Philippians 1. Verse 1. God's going to finish his work that he started in us. Paul and Timothy. Philippians 1 verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Jesus Christ who are in Philippi with the Vince. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. We should pray for one another, shouldn't we? Should we? For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day till now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. How much more positive can we get than that? That's inspired by God. It said God's going to complete the work he started in us. So that's good to know, isn't it? Okay. One thing we have to do is be faithful. Point number 5, be faithful. Go to 1 Corinthians, resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians 15. Go back to verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. 50. Now this I say, brethren, flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. It's a mystery to most of the world, but it's not a mystery to us. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We shall not all die. So some will be living at the time of Christ's return. I don't know if I will be or not. We have to be a little more careful. Okay. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, that's when Christ returns, the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, and then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting, O Hades, or the grave, where is your victory? Okay. Verse 57, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, what we do is not in vain as far as God is concerned. And we look forward to the time when those verses are fulfilled. Okay. Let's go to Revelation 5. Revelation 5. Revelation 5, verse 8. Revelation 5, verse 8. It's talking about Christ taking. It says in verse 8, now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So when God prays, or when we pray to God, it's like incense to him. It's a sweet savor. God likes to hear our prayers. Appreciates them. And they sang a new song. They, the saints, sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. That's God's goal for us. That's what God has in mind. We're going to inherit the kingdom, you might say. God is going to change us from physical human beings with all our aches and pains and problems and so forth, change us into immortal spirit beings, reigning on the earth as kings and priests when Christ returns and says, kingdom. Okay. Now, promises God has made. Go to Gospel of John. John 14. John 14. And verse 27. What we seek many times, world, with all its problems and so forth, is just peace. Peace of mind, you know. It would be nice if countries were at peace with one another. But they're not. Unless God intervened, nations would, humanity. We have the capability now, or I should say, humanity has the capability of destroying itself. Atomic weapons, all the equipment that we have, the means of delivering them and so forth. But God gives us peace. Not as the world does. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So Jesus Christ is going to return again, and we may be dead by the time he returns. That's not what we need to endure to the end, and be thankful for the good things God has given us. So now let's go to 1 John, which is way back in the close to Revelation. 1 John. First John 4. Love. That's another thing that we want to have, isn't it? Now, those of you who are married, chances are sure that you love your wife. I've been blessed to be married to my wife now for over 49 years, so. And love for one another, that would have ended a long time ago, I'm sure. Love is an amazing thing, especially God's love. God loves us even when we do wrong things. Verse 16, 1 John 4:16. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. So we know that if God and God cannot lie, that everything he does for us is going to be good, right? That means, that doesn't mean we don't go through trials. God does that for us. And he's going to stick with us through the trials until we learn from them. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. So, the day of judgment, we won't be shaking in our boots. We'll know that God is going to reward us then if we remain faithful to him. Chapter 5 and verse 14. Still here in 1 John 5 and verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. It's not just like we're praying to God and there's nobody there. An empty prayer and waste of time. If we ask according to his will, because we don't want to get away from that, we don't need $1 million. We don't need a new house and a new car. At least I don't. So forth. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Okay? That's all we need to know is that God hears our prayers when we ask according to his will. And then what he decides to do about it then is on him. Now, let's get out of 1 John and go to Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 38. Romans 8, verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, things present, but things to come, heights, nor depths, any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's pretty good, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? One sentence. I'm persuaded that neither life nor death, death nor life, nor anything else, any other created thing can separate us from the love of God. God loves us. So much so that he gave his Jesus Christ, who was without sin, paid the price. God, that's how much God loves us, God and Jesus Christ. Romans 8, 28. Romans 8, 28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Now, you might say, well, we love God. I love God, but I fell out of the chair this morning and dipped my furniture. My wife came in and got me, thought I was dead. I could be, you know, I have a blood clot. Is that working out for good? It says we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. So anything is going to work out for good. God will make it work out for good in the long run. God calls us. We weren't called by a minister at that particular time or any time. Not a human being. God called us. God picked us out. He remains faithful. God is never going to lie. He will finish the work He started with us. He will give us eternal life in His kingdom. That's His goal, of giving us all eternal life in His kingdom. And we will be, our ultimate goal is to be with leaders in God's kingdom, kings and priests, helping other human beings understand the truth and to in God's kingdom as well. So we look forward to the day when that is fulfilled. In the meantime, we need to read our Bible, study, do what we can to draw close to God and carry out His will that we realize that He has for us.